Amen. We're turning in our Bible to that passage we read together in 1 John and chapter 3. And with our Bibles open before the Lord, shall we bow for a word in prayer. O gracious God, eternal heavenly Father, we bow before thee this night, and we do thank you for those words we've been singing. He took my sins and my sorrows. He made them his very own. He bore the burden to Calvary and suffered and died alone. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the truth of the gospel. We thank you there is a gospel tonight. There's good news that Christ died for the ungodly and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. Bless us now as we come to preach thy word and fill us with the Holy Ghost and power for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen. The question of the ages is, why did Jesus come? Some say he came to be a great prophet. And of course he was a great prophet. He was prophet, priest and king. So he was. Some say he came to be a great teacher. And of course he was a great teacher. He taught the people and they flocked to hear him. He taught them the Sermon on the Mount, the parables, the great discourses. And the Bible says, never a man spake like this man. Some others say he came to be a great healer. And of course he was a great healer. One word, he cleansed the lepers. He restored sight to the blind. The lame were able to walk. And even the dead rose from the grave. Others say he came to set a good moral example. And of course he could do that too, because he knew no sin. He did no sin. And that he never said a wrong word, thought a wrong thought, did a wrong deed. He never had to apologize to anyone. But surely tonight, Christ is more than any of these. When we think of all the Old Testament prophecies concerning him, in Luke chapter 24 there, we read these words in verse 25. O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and entered into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And then over in verse 44 of the same chapter, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spoke unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And all the whole Old Testament speaks of Christ, so it is. Jesus said, search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are there that speak of me. And then when we think of his birth and how he was conceived in the womb of a virgin by the Holy Ghost, and how he was virgin born, and it was a sinless birth, so it was. No one was ever born like that before or since. It was unique. When we consider how he died and why he died, he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep had gone astray. We had turned every one to his own way, and the Lord had laid in him the iniquity of us all. He died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And we consider his resurrection. He rose again the third day, and he rose never to die again. Others have risen. Jairus' daughter Lazarus, others, who brought back from the dead, but they all died again. But Christ lives in the power of an endless life. And then we look how he brings peace and salvation to men and women, and how he transforms lives. Christ is really unique. So he is. And so tonight we want to look at why Christ came. That's what we want to look at tonight. First of all, he came to take away our sin. Verse 5 there. And we know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. The Bible teaches us that we are all sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Brother, we're sinners by practice, and we're sinners by nature. We're born in sin. We were shapen in iniquity. David said, in sin did my mother conceive me. He wasn't saying anything about his mother. He was stating a fact that he had been born in sin. And we practice sin. We love to go to sinful places, have sinful companions, say sinful words and things like that. We're sinners by nature. We're sinners by practice. And all sin brings sorrow, pain, and death. The Bible says, by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and that all have sinned. Sin promises a lot of benefits, popularity, prosperity, but at the end of the day, it brings sorrow, pain, and death, so it is. And not just physical death, but eventually eternal death in hell. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. Sin leads to a lost sinner's hell. So it is. But Christ came to give us eternal life. Yes, the Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Salvation is a gift from God, and it only comes through Christ, so it is. It doesn't come through church or sacraments or baptisms or anything like that. It only comes through Christ. Christ, the sinless Son of God, bore our sin on his own body on the cross. He died the just for the unjust to bring us to God. He put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And that is why he came, friend, to take away our sin. John the Baptist preached, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world." Let me ask you tonight, is Christ your Savior? Is he your Redeemer? Has he taken away your sin? Can you say tonight, your name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life, and that you have a home in heaven, and it's well with your soul? Oh, friend, tonight, come to Christ. Be saved. Be born again. Be ready for heaven. And then the next thing, he came to destroy the works of the devil. Verse 8 there, "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." The devil is a real living being. Some people do not believe that, but that is true. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke of him. He said, "I saw Satan fall from heaven." Peter spoke of him. He said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary the devil goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The devil had been an angel, an archangel, Lucifer, but he rebelled against God. Over in Isaiah chapter 14, we read those words in verse 12. How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven and exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will set him also upon the mount of the congregation in the sight of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. He was full of pride, and he wanted to take God's throne, but he was cast down out of heaven, down to the pit. But he's still seeking every way to destroy God's work. We think of the work of the devil in Eden. He came to Eve and he said to her, has God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree in the garden? He questioned God's word. God said they could eat of every tree in the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For the day that they would eat thereof, they would die. But he put a question mark over that. Has God said, thou shalt not eat of every tree of the garden? If you hear anybody questioning God's word, no matter where they are, in a pulpit or what, they're off the devil. For the devil questioned God's word from the beginning. And then he denies God's word. Eve said to her, God said that the day we eat thereof we'd die. And he said, ye shall not surely die. And he denied God's word. And there's a lot of people today denying God's word. Is there a hell? God wouldn't send anybody to hell. And things like that. Oh yes, friend, he denied God's word. And then he caused Eve to mistrust God. He said there, God doth know that the day ye eat thereof, thou shalt be as God, knowing right and wrong. And he put it into her head that God was keeping something good back from her. And he caused her to mistrust God. And there's many people like that today. They'll say to you, well, I got saved. Well, I'd have to quit this, quit that. And life just wouldn't be the same without it. And it seems as though God's trying to destroy people's lives. Oh, yeah. And oh, beloved, the result of this was Eve was deceived. She ate the forbidden fruit. She gave it to Adam to eat. And the result was sin and death and misery come into this world. And ever since, the devil has been busy. He attacks God's work. He'd do anything to get a church like this closed, to get the work of God stopped. He attacks God's people. Peter said, be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, goeth about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may destroy. And he'll do everything to discourage you, to stop you going on with God, and to stop you serving him. And he deceives men and women, and he takes them to hell. But we think of God's work in the Garden of Eden. First of all, he came seeking Adam and Eve. He said, where art thou? He didn't let them wander on in sin. And then he promised a redeemer. He said, the seed of the woman would bruise Satan's head, and that promise was fulfilled in Christ. When Jesus died, Satan was defeated. We over there in Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 14. For as much then that the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that hath the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Beloved, tonight, the devil is defeated. We know he goes about as a roaring lion, but he is defeated. And God is defeating him every day. He's building his church. Jesus said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And hell has been attacking the church over 2,000 years, but the church is still here, and it will be here, so it will. And then also, he's saving sinners. He's bringing men and women from the power of sin and Satan into the marvelous light of the gospel. He's transforming lives. The Bible says, any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away, all things become new. And he makes new creatures out of vile, guilty sinners. So he does. And he's setting men and women free from the power of sin and Satan. Jesus said, if the Son does set you free, you're free indeed. Why did Jesus come? To destroy the sin and to defeat the devil. But he also came to show us the Father's love. That verse in chapter 4, verse 9. And this was manifested, the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Beloved, God loved us first. First 10 there, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. On down a bit in verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. And he loved us in eternity. He set his love upon us. The Bible says, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. With loving kindness have I drawn thee. He set his love upon us in eternity. And he loved us even though there was nothing good in us. In Romans 9:13, it says, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated. What was so good about Jacob? He was a twister, a supplanter. He deceived his own brother. He deceived his own father. Esau was a much better man. And yet withal, God loved him. And God loved us tonight, friend. Even though there was nothing good in us, he set his love upon us. And he loved us with an everlasting love. So it is. And he loved us when we were sinners. The Bible says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure, for a good man, even some would dare to die. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's a wonderful sort of. He loved us while we were yet sinners, and he loved us when we didn't love him. I don't know about you tonight. I had never any intention of being saved. I remember my brother, way back in the 1960s, he was saved in 1959, and he started taking me to meetings, and I rejected it. And he used to say to me, did you enjoy the meeting? No. Did you like to be saved? No. And he used to even pull the cigarettes coming out out of the meeting just to annoy him. And if it had been left to me, I could have been in hell tonight. But I'm glad tonight he loved me when I didn't love him. The hymn writer says, as I passed my Saviour by, his love lay hold on me. And we think of God's love, friend, sent Christ all the way to the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That we would so, it can't be defined, so it can't. You can't measure God's love. We read in the Psalms, as far as the east is from the west, so far doth he remove our transgressions from us. You can't measure the east from the west, and you can't measure the love of God, so you can't. And you can't explain the love of God. Why did God set his love upon us? When you think of all the angels that fell from heaven with Lucifer, he did nothing to save them. And yet withal he sent his Son into the world to die for us and to save us, so you can't. It's really amazing. Charles Wesley wrote, "Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, should die for me?" Beloved, any time you doubt God's love, take a look at the cross. Take a visit to Calvary. The hymn writer said, "When I survey the wondrous cross on which the Prince of Glory died, my riches, gains I count but loss, and pour contempt on all my pride." We read there, "See from his head, his hands, his feet, sorrow and love flow mingled down. Did e'er such love and sorrow meet, or thorns compose so rich a crown? Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." Oh, beloved, tonight, why did Jesus come? He came to take away our sin. Forgive us. He came to destroy the works of the devil. And he came to show us the Father's love. May God bless these few thoughts to our hearts. And if you're not saved tonight, why not come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ? We have a closing hymn.